Hi, Robert.
Hi, Josh.
How you doing?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
I was doing okay until a few minutes ago.
Yeah? Because then you got to work?
No. No, it was actually after I got to work, and I realized as I was getting set up to do this place-by-place fishing report that it's been a month since we did one.
Has it been 4 weeks?
4/12 was the last one. Today is 5/10.
Okay.
That's a month.
Sorry, our lives get busy.
What the heck?
It's hard to keep up with it in the shop.
Yeah, but, you know, we got no place-by-place report for a month. There's no radio show anymore for them to get a fishing report from. These
would
folks
always
are,
come up with a different day to come in and do this.
These folks are suffering out here. Well, I mean, I guess we could do that, but, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been a little busy. Spending some time out there on the water and getting things figured out, and it's been slamming.
Mm-hmm.
So we always say we're going to do that we're going to come up with a different day to do
March,
it.
March, April, and May are like the three busiest months for everybody. So,
and here's the problem. You and I could definitely find the time to record this report, 100%. But sitting here and typing it up, that's the difference, because we have to be in this place where we can do that and where I can upload the thing.
Right.
So this place, of course, being the Fish and Franks World Headquarters flagship store in the bustling metropolis of Charlotte Harbor.
Right.
So, anyway, it's just my way of apologizing to people for not having done the report, and also to tell them that there's a good chance there won't be one next week. Just because, you know, that's how this goes.
There's a 50-50 chance.
Well, according to what's been going on for the last month, there's a 25% chance.
Right.
So, we'll see. Listen, we will always attempt to do it. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, trust me that we felt bad about it not happening too. So.
Right.
Now, we have done the fishing report backwards. We have done the fishing report forwards. This week we're going to do it backwards and forwards. In that, usually the tarpon reports are the last thing that we talk about. But I know that tarpon have been on the top of a lot of people's minds. So let's just jump into that one, get it out of the way, and then we can move on to all the regular place-by-place stuff that we do.
Okay.
So, I've got my tarpon map up here and ready to go. We haven't done one of those since November.
Okay.
So, that's been a little while. So, let's talk about what's been going on here with the tarpon world.
Basically, pretty much the primary place you're going to find them is in Boca Grande Pass or the immediate vicinity of the pass.
All right. And when you say immediate vicinity?
Up on the hill and then just on the other side of the intercoastal, especially as you work your way south just a little bit towards Cayo Costa.
All right. So I'm going to put a couple of red dots up here in the general hill area because, you know, the hill has different meanings to different people.
Yeah, but the real hill is right there just past the phosphate dock.
Right. So where it's coming up from the bottom. Basically, you're climbing up the hill. That's the hill.
Yeah, 30 feet to like 18 feet.
But what a lot of people are now referring to as the hill is
out
that
in front of Bull Bay.
Big, broad expanse of 15 feet of water, literally going all the way to Cape Hayes Point.
Yeah.
So, which, you know, to be fair, sometimes the tarpon hang out there.
They do.
So
I've caught many tarpon along there, but that's not the hill.
It's not really the hill.
No, nope,
but
it's just no man's land.
But it's kind of the hill now, because, you know, this is how language works.
When no.
We, it is, because no, when we...
I am not part of this woke society where I'm going to change the definition of crap just to accommodate
woke
some
society?
Of the... Well...
Listen.
There's a bunch of morons that like to just change stuff because it feels necessary to them because they're too lazy to look it up and figure it out the right way.
Let me ask you a question, okay?
Yes, sir.
What is rock and roll?
What is rock and roll?
Yeah, what's rock and roll?
As far as the genre or what you would
consider?
What
does it mean? What's the word? What's the term mean, rock and roll? I have a point, trust me.
I know you do, and I know where you're going with it. That's why I'm hesitant to answer any of it. But there's 5 million. It's like, what's country music? You know, there's 5 million different things of it.
Okay,
some
but,
of it's considered
but,
pop,
but
as
no,
far
on.
As I'm concerned.
Hold on,
some of it's not.
You're going to define rock and roll as a musical genre?
Yeah, pretty
It is a musical genre. Okay.
Correct.
So if we go back to the 1940s, rock and roll is not a musical genre. It doesn't exist yet.
Correct.
But there is the term rock and roll, which is sexual slang.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it became rock and roll because the dancing that the kids were doing to it had a sexual connotation.
But the thing is, the hill has always been the hill. That's that one specific spot.
And rock and roll was always rock and roll. It was kind of dirty to talk about until it became a music, and then the meaning of the word changed. That's not woke. That's just how language functions. So the definitions of things expand and go over time based on how do we use those words and terms. So the hill was at one time, I agree with you, right there as you climb up into that shallower water. But now the definition of the hill has expanded.
So we'll change Pirate Harbor to a different name just because it's convenient, because we're too lazy to figure it out?
Eventually we might. Look how we changed Two Pines.
Are you kidding me?
We changed Whorehouse Point to Mangrove Point just by changing the name on a chart. Where else am I putting these red dots? Can I put some on the beach?
Holy Christ, I didn't realize we were going to get into this already.
Have there been tarpon out on the beach?
No.
just there in the pass.
Yep.
Out on the pan?
Yeah.
How far out?
Out to the marker, but we're coming up on that full moon, so a lot of stuff's going to change.
All right, I put them out there. All right, so those are my red dots, because there's only place I can put a red dot outside of the Boca Grande Pass area.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
All right, yellow dots?
Nothing.
No yellow dots?
No.
I'm putting yellow dots up here on the way upper hill. That's where I'm going to put a couple yellow dots.
We could even put them over in Little Gasparilla Pass if you
want. Oh, put a yellow dot in Gasparilla Pass, because it does get tarpony, doesn't it? Okay. Anyplace else? Any of the bridges?
Not really.
Not so much with the 41, the Elder Beam?
One here and one there, but it's not consistent enough to say absolutely go there.
All right, then I'm putting white dots there. A white dot at Elder Beam, a white dot at 41. Can I put a white dot anywhere else?
Sure, wherever you feel like you want to sprinkle it. We'll just call it a top spot map.
Listen, if you're going to be this way, okay.
We're off to a good start. The day hasn't even started on the floor yet. Wait until we get out there.
All right. So
basically, if you want, you're pretty much a good chance of catching a tarpon, go to Boca Grande Pass.
And the baits have been?
Crabs.
And?
Squirrelfish.
And also crabs.
Yeah. Crabs, squirrelfish, and shrimp. Those would be pretty much the baits that I would go with.
Now, I did see some folks out there on the, let's call it the extended hill, out there throwing threadies.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not doing very well.
Yeah. Threadies work okay sometimes, but they're so hyper-focused on all the crustaceans right now that's going to be your better bet is the crab or possibly a shrimp.
Okay. But the numbers are definitely in the pass.
Oh, yeah.
And are we there yet with the full-on migration has happened?
No, but it's going to hit on this moon next week. Right after this front goes through, I think you're going to see a much bigger population of fish, because a couple of guys did run offshore, you know, 40, 50 miles,
mm-hmm.
and we're seeing tarpon, you know, greyhound in their way towards shore.
Rolling their way in.
So.
The funny thing is, you know, with seeing so many fish out there rolling and up on the surface, most of them have been small.
Yeah.
Most of what I was seeing people hook out there were, you know, 40 maybe to 60 pound fish.
Right.
Which, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a big fish. But for a Boca Grande Pass tarpon, that's not a big fish.
No.
So.
No, not at all.
We did see a few larger than that hooked.
There was a lot of bigger fish last week.
Yeah.
This week has been considerably smaller fish.
Yeah, so maybe some of those bigger fish headed offshore to meet the ones that are coming in.
That lightning chased them all out.
Mm.
That storm that we had last week that stayed out along the beach and mm-hmm. along the east side of the harbor, that chased those fish out. It's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do weird things for sure.
Oh, yeah.
They're weird fish. Ugh, can you imagine? There's so many tarpon in Boca Grande Pass. Come on down. Your $1,500 tarpon trip's going to be amazing. And you get out there, and oh, no, wait, there was a storm yesterday, and there's zero fish out here.
Yeah.
We're just going to drift around and look at nothing.
Yep.
This is why, people, this is why, if you're going to do a tarpon charter, do your tarpon charter with somebody who has a backup plan.
Yes.
And ask them, what's the backup plan going to be if the tarpon don't show up? What are we going to do? You really don't want to spend that money to just roll around in Boca Grande Pass and look at the pretty green water. It's a nice sight, but it ain't worth that.
Right.
All right. Then shall we get this place-by-place thing rolling here?
I think so.
Okay, well then let's. It starts with the Peace River, Harbor Heights, and Upriver, along with Shell Creek.
My radar just came with a lightning alert.
Yeah, mine's been beeping all along.
Oh, no, I'm kidding. It actually might be.
Yeah, I know.
It's not raining now, unless no. Right now, but it's close.
It's coming.
Huh. Yep. Interesting.
I know. I'm not afraid.
No, I'm not scared either.
That's not true. I'm a tiny bit afraid.
Not of that, I'm not.
Of the lightning?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, not at all.
I have a lot of respect for lightning, let's put it that way.
So do I. But you and I have had some really cool moments standing up on top of the bridge checking it out.
Oh, yeah. And from a distance, it's wonderful. And then it gets closer. And then it's less wonderful. Are we doing this fishing report, or are you just going to sit there and look at your radar?
No.
Because either one's fine.
No, I just got a text from the stepdaughter trying to surprise Christina for Mother's Day.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's coming right up.
It's tomorrow.
That's kind of tomorrow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay, the river.
Yes, the Peace River, Harbor Heights, upriver, along with Shell Creek. What do we got?
There's actually been some guys catching some snook up there now the season closed. Been a whole lot of little ones, but I've heard of several good fish up there. One guy got a 38-incher up there by Nocatee.
Really?
But he lives up there, so he's got it dialed in. He was showing me all sorts of pictures of his fish that he catches up there all the time. And believe it or not, he says he just doesn't like to keep them. He just likes to catch them, so he wasn't kind of the old school.
That's cool.
Yeah. What else? They've been getting a lot of tilapia and Mayan cichlids up along the Shell Creek straightaway. And then some juvenile tarpon showing up all over the place up there.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw a bunch of them up there rolling and not doing much else.
Yeah. Yeah, making everybody crazier. That's really about all I've heard lately.
We had a...
Oh, you know what? Wait a minute. I apologize. A lot of baby bull sharks, and even one that was about 6 foot that a guy caught up there.
Okay. Baby bull sharks. Not black tip sharks?
Several of them have said that, but I've corrected them.
We had some big black drum on schooling up over by the Harbor Heights boat ramp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tailing.
Really?
Like pointing straight down with their tails sticking up out of the water. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that's neat.
We had a couple leftover tarpon crabs, so we threw one in there.
There you go.
It didn't last very long.
Perfect. That made the guy probably pretty happy.
It did.
Good.
Okay.
They're fun to catch.
They are. And I told him, you know, it's a big fish. And it's a good fight.
Yeah.
But it's nothing like that tarpon that you missed.
Yeah.
So, don't assume that just because, you know, this black drum weighs, you know, probably a third of what your tarpon did, that it would have only been three times harder to catch that tarpon.
Right.
Cool fish, though.
Yep.
All right. The Darst Park Boat Ramp I-75 Bridges area.
Haven't heard anything over there, to be honest.
All right. Well, then we'll stick with the no reports. The U.S. Yep. 41 Bridges.
They're catching a lot of short cobia there and an occasional legal one. If you go there at night, that's a lot of people have been fishing off of there at night lately. Just because one person caught a big cobia. One guy caught one that was, I think it was 39 inches or 41 inches, I forget, because several people have come across the story. Some baby bull sharks. Some undersized snook. And the occasional black drum. But because of our lack of fishing places around, people have been fishing off the bridge quite a bit lately.
Yeah, and remember, the bridge is high, so don't forget your pier net.
And drop them back down in the water with your pier net instead of throwing them off of there.
You don't just blop them right back down there, land on their belly, splat?
I watch so many videos where they show these guys landing them with a bridge net, and then they throw the same fish back over the railing back down to the water. It's like, really? That was nice of you to do.
What would you suggest as bait for these cobia?
I mean, I'm going to take mullet and sardines, but then I'm going to sit there with shrimp and try to catch myself a whiting if I could.
Live whiting.
Mm-hmm.
Oogie doke, the Lashley seawall.
Got nothing from over there.
The Bayshore piers don't exist. The Port Charlotte Beach Pier doesn't exist. Spring Lake Park.
Nothing.
No reports in there. The Port Charlotte canals.
Lots and lots of sail cats.
Sail cats.
Plenty of sail cats.
Big ones?
No.
Little ones?
I caught 4 off the dock the other night that were 10 inches.
Oh.
12 inches tops.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And I'm hearing that from a lot of people. I caught 1 sail cat that was like eating size, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, "You're not going to fish anymore?" No, I'm like, "No, you're 1 sail cat, 1 hardhead cat, and 4 snook. I'm 4 sail cats. I'm done. I will just watch."
Well, it's sail cats, Robert. Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, no, I'm over that. Like, nope. I'm good with it. I got stung by one of them little buzz saws, so I was like, forget it.
Well, they make a thing called the H&H Fish Grabber.
I have one.
It does a great job.
It never leaves my dock.
But when they get little like that, they get a little bit more challenging to deal with.
Yes, they do.
So what you do is you go on eBay, and you Google suit of armor glove.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want. Just the glove off of a suit of armor. And it'll do a great job. You'll have no more problems.
Sure. I'll get right on that.
Just keep it oiled.
Mm-hmm.
And rinse the slime off.
Yeah.
You know who really likes baby sail cats, though?
Cobia.
A lot.
I would rather have a hard head, though.
A lot. But sail cats are great, too. Mm-hmm. Sail cats are great.
Nope.
Them cobia, they know what's up.
Nope. I'll still take a hard head, though, for bait over any sail cat.
All right, so when we did this a month ago, we had snook, jacks, black drum, and lots of toadfish also in the canals. Do we have any of those things around still?
We got a lot of little snook.
Okay.
Haven't heard much for jacks. The black drum have been very sporadic. You know, they were going good, now they kind of slowed down, so it's just an incidental couple here and there. And then the other thing that's going on, and there's a lot of mangrove snapper starting to pile up at the mouths of the canals, because any of breeding size snapper, which is in that 13 to 15 inch range,
mm-hmm.
they're going to head offshore to go spawn. So we're starting to see little groups of snapper at the mouths of the canals.
And those will mostly be good keepers.
Yes. Yeah, I caught one that was 14, 13 and a half, 14. Maybe 15, I don't know. It was a big one.
Bait recommendations here?
Shrimp. Shrimp is the main thing they're hitting or being caught on.
Live ones?
Yeah. Some guys are doing good on frozen shrimp, too. I've had a couple guys catch them on white bait also. I've sent several customers out with the frozen white bait and have done well with those, too.
Okay. Quick question, okay?
Sure.
Just because so many people ask it. When we talk about these frozen baits that we're out there using, how do you deal with a frozen bait on the water? Do you thaw it ahead of time? Do you thaw the whole package? Do you throw them in water so that they're all going to be basically water temperature before you use them? Do you just crack off a frozen one and leave the rest in the cooler on ice? How do you deal with it?
Depends on what it is.
Well, let's take these white bait or shrimp, because since that's what we're talking about.
Well, the shrimp take about 5 minutes to thaw out.
Yeah.
So I usually just break off some, keep them in the ice chest, and just smack them on around and break off a handful and let them thaw out real quick. The white bait are a little tougher because they freeze in a little bit of water when they package them. So you almost have to let them out partially thaw out to break some out of there.
And they're also fragile, so they tend to shatter.
Yeah, they tend to tear apart really easily. And so I'll let them pretty much thaw out and then keep them on ice to keep them chilled. It's about all you can do. I mean, if you want to get super specific, you could brine them ahead of time too if you wanted, but I ain't got time for that most of the time.
Ain't got time for that. The El Jabin Bridge. Do we got time for that?
They were getting a bunch of small snook there and a couple legal-sized snook, but now that it's closed, I haven't had too many reports this past 2 weeks.
Okay.
There was some juvenile tarpon being caught there. My nephew hooked into a few the other day. I guess that was a week ago. Other than that, I haven't heard of much else.
Okay. The remainder of the Myack River area from the bridge down to Marker 8?
Not much at all.
The South Gulf Cove canals?
Nothing.
The West Wall?
Wonky. A lot of little snook and a few legal-sized redfish up under the bushes and in some of those creeks at the mouths. The tide went totally different this week compared to, like, say, Sunday, Monday of last week. So I haven't heard much basically since Monday. And then there has been some small cobia on the bar. I haven't heard of any legal ones, but there's been a hopscotch of one tarpon here, one tarpon there, just sitting up on the flats randomly.
Okay.
People are seeing them. Nobody's catching them. There's been some fly guys over there drifting and push-pulling, trying to find one, but they just... You're going to see it, but it's not going to be catching them. Same way with some of the sharks. There's been some bigger bull sharks cruising the bars over there.
Okay.
And littler sharks, because this is the time when all the mothers are coming in to pop out. So, heard some stories of hammerheads in the harbor and bigger bull sharks in the harbor, and that's because they're all here to give birth.
That's what they do.
That's what they do.
The Cape Hayes Bar.
Yeah, nothing there.
Turtle and bull bays.
A lot of small trout. A handful of redfish and snook along the bushes. A couple guys did catch a couple of redfish out there by that oyster patch in the middle. He also caught one trout that was 22 inches.
Nice.
Oh, that was the other thing. Donnie, this going backpedal a little bit, Donnie Gant.
Mm-hmm.
His buddy was out fishing in his John boat on the lower west wall. 28-inch trout. 28-inch trout. He's got a picture of it. It was awesome.
I'm going to say, we'll need a picture of that.
Yeah. His buddy let it go.
Jeez.
But it was a huge trout. Caught it on a 4-inch shad tail.
That might be the biggest trout in the harbor.
Yeah. Yeah, it was impressive.
That's awesome. It's
the biggest trout I've seen in a long time here. Let's see what else we got down there. A lot of small sharks inside Bull and Turtle Bay, too. And some baby bulls, the occasional black tip, bonnet head.
And it seems like every time I've been down there recently, I've seen at least one spotted eagle ray.
Yeah. They are so awesome.
Which are just for looking at, not for catching.
Yeah. Absolutely one of the most elegant things to see swimming through the water.
Okay. Cape Hayes Reef and Danger Reef.
A few Spanish mackerel. And that's about it.
No cobes?
Mm-mm. Haven't heard of any cobe. Haven't even heard of any guys fishing sharks there.
Okay. Gasparilla Sound, a.k.a. The Hill.
Nice. Jerk. So there's trout, Spanish mackerel, and ladyfish out there in that 4 to 6 feet of water, along with some assortment of sharks of all sizes. And the best bet is using your trolling motor or drifting, because just covering some ground, because they're just kind of scattered throughout that whole area. There's a lot of snook up along the shoreline, and they're moving a lot because they're all starting to head to the passes and the beaches to get ready to do their summer spawn. So you might move to one spot and find a whole pile of them, and then 10 minutes later, they're all gone. And then an hour later, another little group moves back in. Hmm. So this is the time of year when all those snook just constantly moving around a lot. I'm trying to think what else I've heard of down in there. Yeah, that's about it.
Okay. The Placida area, the trestle, the Coral Creek Pier, Gasparilla Pass, that big old flat over there next to the Bird Island.
Right.
Places like that.
Well, we'll stick with the trestle and the primary bridge and the secondary bridge by the sandbar where everyone parties at.
Mm-hmm.
Mangrove Snapper, a few pompano, a few straggler sheep's head. Not many, but definitely incidental bycatch enough where you still might want to take fiddler crabs with you. There's not a lot of them out there, but the pressure has backed off on them.
I'm going to call them leftover sheep's head.
Leftover sheep's head. There you go.
They are leftovers.
Mixed variety of sharks, and then the occasional tarpon.
Okay.
It's kind of a nice secondary area. The problem is just all the boat traffic through that area sucks on the weekend.
And the dolphins.
Yeah, Flipper is definitely not fun at all there.
And it's literally three dolphins.
Yeah.
That do all that down there.
Yeah. Bring them home.
Bring the dolphins home?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a big enough live well.
It's all right. Just drag them behind the boat.
I don't think they let you do that.
They may not like it. But you could try.
You can. You could try. One of our local captains suggested that if they weren't protected, that he would be out there putting extra holes in their heads.
Yeah.
So.
Not surprising. There's a lot of people that feel that same way.
Yeah.
But people always feel the same way about all the different critters when we're the problem.
Right. It's a problem that we create.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't like that way until we made them that
bad.
Way.
No, the people that own those pit bulls are bad.
Yeah.
Flipper's just doing what you taught him. It's a smart animal, and it's a learned behavior. Stop doing it.
Yep. Moving us on to Lemon Bay, Stump Pass, Milton Pass, Lemon Bay Park, Indian Mound Park, places like that.
I'm hearing reports of some mangrove snapper, even under docks, and even a couple guys catching them out in some of the little sand grass holes. A few trout. And been some snook and a few redfish. And I only say a few because I've heard two different people tell me that they caught a couple of redfish while fishing under the docks for snapper and sheep's head.
Okay.
But that's, you know, I think that's about average.
Yeah, sounds normal.
Yeah.
All right, we would talk about
the... Didn't get
a hold
of Rick, except for the number that I've got is his old Google phone number. He's like, I haven't used that in like 4 years. I at least heard it come through, and I tried to figure it out, and like, okay. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
We would normally talk about the Anger Pier if there were one, but there isn't. So that moves us on to the Gulf bottom fishing and trolling reefs and wrecks.
Well, from the passes to about 10 miles out, there's a lot of Spanish mackerel up and down the beaches. And just look for some bait or get around some of the nearshore reefs and you'll find them. There has still been a few kings out there. You know, 2 weeks ago there was a fair number of kings out there that kind of blasted through real quick. It was like 2 or 3 days of positive reports and then now it's just the incidental one.
But they're all around the mackerel schools, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah. And the barracuda are just now starting to show up at some of the near shore reefs. And then you've got the grouper have been 100 to 140 feet of water. And then your mangs have been doing fair in 80 feet to 130 feet of water. And it's about the same for your lane snapper. I have not heard much of yellowtail snapper at all. It goes in spurts with them, but I know we're still kind of early in the season for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did hear one good report about yellowtails out there.
Yeah.
Let me see where that was.
Yeah, most of the guys prefer to target them specifically, so it's like they wait until the water really warms up to get better numbers.
Yeah. Said they were 43 miles out and had 90 yellowtails on the boat between midnight and 4 a.m.
Okay.
All of them caught on, care to guess?
Shrimp?
No.
What?
Allegedly uncut bluefish.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right.
New one to me.
New one to me.
Well, hey, you know what? It's a fishing report from a fisherman, so...
Yes.
You know, it's as trustworthy
and
as...
90 of them on board?
That's what they
How
said.
How many guys were on the boat?
I don't know. I hope a bunch.
Yeah. Let's see, 90?
Yeah. No.
So it'd have to be 40 guys on the boat? Yeah. 45 guys on the boat?
Fishing stories.
Is that about right?
With yellowtail?
It's what, 5 per person?
I think it's 10.
Is it?
I think it's 10. Hold on, I got my fish rules app here. Let me find it. You know, because I can't keep all this stuff in my head. I got way too many other things that are in my head.
I thought that they were part of the aggregate of 5.
So I download, or I offload a lot of that to the fish rules app. Which, by the way, if you don't have the fish rules app, get the fish rules app. It's the best. And make sure that you set it to use your location. So that way, when you are in a different place and you're fishing, then your rules will still be accurate. If you're planning to go offshore, set it before you go out while you still have phone signal. So just launch it, look at it, let it update, and then go ahead and close it again, and then you'll have it ready to rock when you get offshore. Bag limit is 10 on yellowtail snapper as part of the snapper aggregate bag of 10.
And you think they only kept yellowtail snapper? Okay. Still have to be 9 guys on the boat.
It would have to be 9 guys, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Whatever.
Using cut bluefish.
Yeah.
Which are illegal.
Yeah, exactly.
Where'd you go?
I'm right here.
Okay. Thought you were running away for a minute.
Nope.
All right, so we got some mackerel. We got some barracudas, we got some kings, we got some red grouper, mangrove, and lane snapper. Anything else going on out there?
That's about it.
Cobia?
Nope.
Triple tail?
No.
Africa pompano?
Nope.
Amberjack?
Nope.
Sailfish?
Nope.
All right, then we'll move on. The Venice jetties and Venice pier. Of course, the north jetty is open, the south jetty is not, and the pier is only partly open, but that's still enough to do a little bit of fishing. Any reports?
Spanish mackerel. Off of both the pier and the jetty. And then some mangrove snapper and some snook at the jetty. And then a few sharks, which are illegal to technically fish for off of the pier, but they're catching. One guy caught a fresh, like hatchling, just birthed bonnethead.
Okay.
It was smaller than both of his hands together, but just a little bigger than his main hand.
That's a baby.
Yeah.
That's a tiny baby.
Yeah, because he was holding it in both hands, and going across his hand, it probably went to just past his thumb like that. It was 7 inches long, probably.
Cute.
Yeah. It was a cool picture.
That'd be a cool thing for an aquarium.
Right?
Definitely. Keep a baby bonnet head in there. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Feed him shrimps.
Yeah.
Get him some little pass crabs. Watch him crunch them up.
Definitely.
Yeah. Punarasa.
Nothing.
Redfish pass.
Nothing.
Captiva pass.
Spanish mackerel. A few snook. And there has been some tarpon moving in and out through that area. basically be ready for them, but I wouldn't necessarily go down there to target them.
Okay. Brings us to Boca Grande Pass.
Oh, let's see. Mangrove snapper. Spanish mackerel. And bigger sharks. And, of course, tarpon. That's the main stuff. A couple of people have seen some cobia swimming through there while tarpon fishing.
Okay.
When those fish all moved onto the real hill last week, three different guys saw cobia come through. Carl even said he saw one that he guesstimated to be about 50 pounds, 60 pounds. He said it was a giant fish. There was two smaller ones swimming with it. And then he saw a, he thinks it was a bull shark, but it was a fairly good-sized shark. But it appeared to have several bigger cobia swimming with it.
Nice.
He said it was down about 6 to 8 feet, so it was hard to really tell. But he said they weren't the remoras or shark suckers on them. He said these were bigger than that.
And that's got to be frustrating because, I mean, there you are. All you have is crabs because you're tarpon fishing. Everybody knows cobia hate crabs.
Yeah. It's a terrible thing to use.
Yeah, I'm surprised nobody caught one.
Right.
Probably didn't want to use their $4 crab.
Exactly.
$4. It's too much for a 50-pound cobia.
Yeah.
Gulf beaches, surf fishing. Anywhere along the Gulf, Sanibel to Venice, somewhere in that general area, what do we got? What do we know?
Boca Grande, they're getting, well, actually, a lot of the beaches right now, I'm hearing of a lot of whiting. And
Pompano?
They've been sporadic. But, like, this week has been whiting and small redfish. But, okay. 15 to 19-inch range. Because several guys thought they were catching baby redfish, and I had to show them that they were whiting, but then he showed me pictures with the baby redfish. But,
And you can't just go by the spot.
No.
Which is sometimes just not there. And you can't go by the color.
Nope.
Because a redfish on the beach is very often just silver.
Way, yeah. So I've paused a couple different times on them. They're also getting some Spanish mackerel, some big ladyfish. A lot of bonnethead sharks. Even a few trout, like at Blind Pass Park, Middle Beach.
Okay.
They've been getting some trout up there. The winds have been very sporadic out there. What's her name? Teresa has been fishing out there, and she said there's been a few days where that wind and tide shifts and starts blowing in a lot of the little grass and crap, and it becomes a little bit of a headache. But the beach fishing in general has been doing fairly well no matter where you seem to go. And I think the majority of that is because none of these beaches have been fixed since the hurricanes. And so it's all nice live sand, so to speak. So it's got all the sand fleas in it, the coquinas. I mean, I'm hearing a lot of people finding sand fleas at a lot of different beaches this year.
Right. Well, and this is different from, I mean, yes, the beaches definitely got disturbed greatly during the hurricanes. And people were like, oh, that's going to kill everything. It's like the beach renourishment all over again. When they do the beach renourishment, they're pulling sediment from totally different areas. And that leaves the beach very silty looking for a while. It's the wrong kind of sediment. So not only did you bury everything that was live on the beach, but you also put in a new type of habitat that is not appropriate for them.
Right.
Whereas all this stuff from the hurricane, you know, it's beach sand that just got washed further down. So it's the right stuff. It's the right material. And yeah, a lot of stuff did get buried, but a lot of stuff just got pushed around with that sand and was able to stay up out of it. So, a totally different situation than a beach renourishment.
Right.
And generally speaking, these kinds of natural disasters are nothing like as destructive to wildlife as the man-made disasters are. And from a wildlife perspective, yes, a beach renourishment is 100% a disaster.
Absolutely. 100%. I think the only ones that kind of benefit from beach renourishment would be sea turtles. Nesting.
Right. Yes.
That's it.
That's
I think
that's
really the only effect of a positive thing for wildlife.
And you might
on some of the shorebirds maybe, but
some of the shorebirds
really.
Except that they require that natural living shoreline to have places to feed.
Food.
So.
So yeah, we'll just go with sea turtles.
Yeah, maybe the terns, not the plovers, not the sanderlings. They need all that stuff in the surf, but the terns will do okay. They'll have some beach to nest on, and they can go catch bait fish, and they're fine with that.
Right.
But still, you know, all in all, a hurricane is much better from the perspective of the things that live on the beach than a renourishment is.
Yep.
Brings us to Matt Lachey, Indian Field, Smokehouse Bay, and associated areas.
Quite a few snook down in that area, and a handful of nice redfish down there, too. Talking to John the other day, he called yesterday. Yeah, I guess it was yesterday. And kayaking down there and fishing that whole area and getting some nice redfish, seeing some big snook, caught a bunch of smaller snook in the 25 to 30 inch range, and he's throwing nothing but artificials.
Okay. Is he just fishing the trees, or is he fishing oysters, or?
He's fishing mostly the bushes. He's fishing a few of the oyster patches. He's been seeing a lot of juvenile tarpon up to like 40 pounds out on the flats and up inside some of the creeks. Another customer caught some redfish there just north of Matt Lachey on the mainland side. That's about it.
Okay. No leftover sheep's head?
No. I haven't heard anything from down there for that.
Okay. Pine Island Sound. Rat and Cat, Mondongo Patricio.
Just a scattering of snook and redfish. I haven't heard a lot of guys fishing them because most of the guys that I get my reports from are trying to chase tarpon right now.
Okay.
A couple guys have been getting some ladyfish and some Spanish mackerel drift in the flats down there with an occasional trout. But the majority of them are just chasing silverfish, so reports are very crappy down there right now.
Gotcha.
I think the fishing's good, just not getting a good report.
Well, we run into that a lot.
Yeah.
Especially when people get hung up on something like, you know, tapping.
That's the way it happens every year.
Exactly.
Come the fall, we'll get less reports of tarpon and everything else, and people will be talking about the schools of redfish.
Yes.
You know, they'll forget about them for a month.
Even though the tarpon will still be here, and they'll be sliding out of spawn mode into feeding mode and getting a lot easier to actually catch.
Yeah. Yeah, when they become the easiest to catch, nobody wants to fish for them. Or yep. Pretends they don't exist. It's like, really?
Yep. Well, they're not in Boca Grande Pass, so.
I know.
So they must not exist.
Only place where tarpon are at.
Jug Creek, Shoal, and Boquelia.
Some ladyfish and some Spanish mackerel. There has been a couple bigger bull sharks down there, along with some nice black tips. One guy caught a 5-foot black tip down there. That's his guess, but I would say it was well over the 4-foot range, looking at the picture of it next to the boat.
Okay.
And it was stunning. It had really, like that one I was telling about, the guy that pulled it in the boat where the lighting was perfect, where everything with the fins were just perfectly blacked out.
Mm-hmm.
This one next to the boat was not quite as good, but pretty damn good. Mm. I mean, there was just vibrant colors on the fish along with that stunning clear water around them. It was a pretty cool picture.
I like it.
And he said it went airborne like 3 different times.
I liked it even better.
Yeah.
Burnt Store and Two Pines.
I haven't had much reports down there except for a few small snook and some redfish up along the bushes. One customer was going to go down there because he hadn't been down there in a couple of years and he wanted to go look for some bigger redfish. But did not hear how he did.
Okay. The East Side Keys and Pirate Harbor.
Bonnet heads, some small cobia cruising the bars. The trout have gotten really small and scattered. That's about it. Juvenile tarpon up inside Pirate Harbor. But I haven't heard of anything for snook and redfish over there.
When you say in the harbor, you mean actually in the canals?
In the canal, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Just not a lot of people fishing them. They're all just kind of scooting by going to look for tarpon. two guys going to look for the smaller sharks.
Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, and the skating rink.
Got nothing. No, Ponce. I take that back. Mangrove Snapper up by, the cut going into Burnt Store Isles. What's that?
Going into Burnt Store?
Burnt Store Isles.
I don't
Meadows.
Remember. I don't remember.
Up in Alligator Creek.
I don't remember what we call that.
Well, the entrance basically going into the right of, into Burnt Store, Meadows, Isles, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Not too far past the restaurant, basically. How's that?
But you're not quite to US 41 yet.
No. No, but they're catching the bigger mangrove snapper there. Other than that, I haven't heard much else inside there.
Does that have a name?
I don't
when
know
you're going
it
into the Burnt Store Canal system, or is it just...
I know we've called it a couple of things, but I've heard people call it the Old Locks. I've heard, you and I usually refer to it as the entrance going into Burnt Store Isles, but for some reason, my brain was saying that there's another name for it.
Oh, I can't think of one.
No.
There might be one. If you know one, call the shop and talk to Robert and tell him what it is.
Or call Josh and he'll change the name for it.
I might. I'll say, no, we don't use that name anymore. Uh-huh. Now we call it the Hill.
Uh-huh.
Ponce de Leon
it
Park.
Identifies as something else today.
Ponce de Leon Park, Robert.
Wow, that's been terrible down there. Ponce has been getting creamed. Like, the Game and Fish needs to go down there and do something. There's been a lot of snapper down there. Some snook. Some black drum. But the rampant, blatant poaching has been absolutely atrocious down there with the small snapper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not good. I would like to see them go sit there for quite a while and write a whole bunch of tickets or take them just plain old to jail. But I've had at least... Just this week, I'll bet you I've had 5 different people tell me how terrible it's been down there.
That's not good.
No. Maybe you should pull some strings and make a couple phone calls.
I think so. Consider this your warning, because Robert's got good strings to pull.
Yep. It's not enough places to fish from shore, and people are getting pushed out, muscled out, and just flat out poaching. Just because they think they can, that's just terrible. So I have issues with that.
Okay. The PGI canals and general Punta Gorda area.
A lot of snapper moving towards the mouths of the canals. Still been a few sheepshead being caught off of some of the people's docks. And then, of course, there's a ton of little snook and some little tarpon showing up here and there. And they are catching black drum in there, but it's kind of the same thing on the Port Charlotte side. Haven't had too many reports. A lot of people seeing a few here and there, but not in the numbers that we kind of half expect this time of year.
What's up with that?
I don't know. I think we just got spoiled the last couple of years of them being really fired up and rambunctious in good numbers.
All right. The Gilchrist Pier doesn't exist. Anybody fishing off the seawall there?
Nope.
Alligator Creek Reef?
Nothing.
The 20-foot holes? The bait fish reports?
The bait fish have been sometimes at Marker 2, but most of it's down at Boquilla. Some over by Devilfish, and then some out along the beaches, but it's been hit or miss. Or, well, it's not hit or miss, you're just working extremely hard at it to get it.
Okay. Size-wise?
Most of it's been small. I've been selling more quarter-inch nets than I have been 3/8-inch. Next year it'll be 3/16 nets.
Mm-hmm.
And after that it'll just be a purse seine.
Yeah.
How many square feet of a seine net can we put out here behind the boat to try to catch bait?
Yeah. Yep.
I need some small hair hooks.
Yep. Okay. The freshwater report.
That's been really slow, to be honest, because, I mean, it's been so blooming hot, and a lot of these little ponds and some of these canals are drying up pretty good.
We are in an extreme drought now, by the way.
Yeah.
They changed our designation last week.
Nice. Yeah, I have not heard much. We're still selling a lot of shiners for bass guys, but I just haven't had much of any reports this week on it.
Okay, so really, we're just kind of waiting for the rain to show up here.
Yep, pretty much.
And fire things up. Yep. In the meantime, I'll bet the Everglades are still producing fish.
I'll bet you they are, too. Well, I've seen some videos down there, though. Holy mackerel, is it dry.
Oh, it's dry. It's dry for sure.
Yeah.
Well, but that just means that the canals, which are box cut and hold more water, you know, that's where everything is concentrated at this point. So
Donnie was out cleaning up his property out there. And he's got a couple little marshes on his, you know, he's got whatever, I mean, how many hundred acres he's got, but he was cutting through with his swamp buggy over to the spot where he's been cleaning up from hurricane knockdown trees.
Mm-hmm.
And he came around the corner as he got off his buggy and was walking around checking stuff out, and he said there was like a 9-footer just sitting right next to a little palmetto patch, and he said the nearest even flag pond is a half a mile away.
Yeah, because that's what these animals are doing. You know, they're in water that dries up, and it's like, well, what are you going to do? You can't just sit here and wait for it, so you got to go find it. So sometimes that means you're walking through some pretty unexpected places for gators to be.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a scary time.
Yes, it is.
But, you know, this it's going to pass. We're going to get into our rainy season here before too much longer. It's already continuously threatening to do it. So I think we're going to see it happening here sooner than later.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, after roughly, what are we at, 52 minutes here, we have reached the end of the places that we can talk about in the place-by-place fishing report. Do you have any final words of wisdom that you'd like to add?
Start to get into summertime. Wear sunblock and stay hydrated.
Long sleeves, nice big hat, face covers. Block as much of that sun as you can. Sunscreen the areas where you can't. I'm wearing gloves every time I'm out there. Back of my hands don't get cooked. For some reason, my legs don't seem to be too concerned about it. I don't know why that is. But my arms, my hands, they will turn bright red if I don't take care of them.
I get it.
And of course, I ain't got no hair on top of my head, so
I
got to make sure.
I'm still in denial.
I mean, there's a little shade up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's sparse, but there's some.
Yeah.
So
it's all right. I got the pre-stuff already from the dermatologist the other day on the back of my melon and all that good stuff.
Oh, there you go. Good times, Robert. Good times.
Perfect.
For those of you who have been missing the Radio Waterline show, we're missing it too. If you would like to send us anything in support of getting that Radio Waterline show back on the air, because it wasn't our decision to take it down, I will be happy to hear from you. If you'd like to send me an email at josh.olive@yoursun.com. That's yoursun.com. I will make sure to pass any emails of support for the show that we get on to the higher-ups who made the decision to get rid of the show. So, in the meantime, I think that's everything. So, might as well say goodnight, Robert.
Goodnight, Robert.